All right, we are in our series in Revelation chapter number 8. Amazing moments from the book of Revelation, and all these series that we've had are on the sermon audio archive there. And believe it or not, other people besides Jeremy and myself are watching those videos. I don't know who the other person is, but there's three. No, I'm kidding. But some of them are being viewed and played. You can do it audio or videos, as it says, and also through the live stream. So a lot of capabilities we're thankful for and looking forward to that. We're in the chapter number 8. We'll be looking at the seventh seal. There's a seven seal book that only Jesus Christ could open that book. He's the only one that can open the seal of every seal of that book, and he is on the seventh seal here, and we're going to begin reading in chapter 8, verse number 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, how long do we go? 42 seconds. That lasted in heaven 30 minutes. You see how awkward that was? And how
that silence in heaven
versus our half a minute or so here. Many of you are looking at me like, did the preacher forget something? Can you imagine those listening in live stream? Those who are on internet capabilities, as they listen, there was silence. My pastor used to say there's nothing worse on the radio than silence. When there's silence on the radio, people turn another station. They turn off the broadcast. People don't know how to handle silence. Silence in heaven here at the opening of the last seal. We endured 30 seconds to 40-something seconds of silence just here. And some of you were squirming and looking around. Some of you were looking around like, what's going on? Did he tell me to turn somewhere and I didn't know? Was I not listening? What happened? Did something happen? Are we dismissing? What's going on? Somebody tell me what's going on! Right? Amen. Silence is unbearable at times. Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's hard to comprehend that something. And here they are in heaven, and when he opens up that last seal, not one creature who is going, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Everything's silent. Everything ceased. In silence, attention is grabbed. Silence gets your attention. It got your attention. Probably just now, the 30 plus seconds, that I wasn't doing anything, you paid more attention to me than you had all year long. Some of you hadn't looked at me all year. When I didn't say nothing, you looked up. What's going on up there? He ain't waving his hands. He ain't doing nothing. He ain't running around back and forth. Somebody say something. You know how people do. Speak up. I can't hear you. Silence. Heaven was muted and silent, always praising. And after other seals, there were thunderings and voices. But after this one, silence. 30 minutes are about the space of half an hour. This awkwardness that you just experienced, people want to break the silence, don't they? How many of you, be honest with me, wanted to say something? Raise your hand. One, two, three. Ugh, everybody. I can't stand it, preacher. I got to testify. I can't sit in church 36 or 42 seconds without somebody saying something.
Somebody wants to break it, but no one did in heaven. Everyone honored what was going on. Everyone in this silence, the tension that was grabbed, all the things were going on, everybody noticed. And no one said a word. I don't know if those seraphims kept flying over the throne quietly, but they did not say, "Holy, holy, holy." They didn't say a word. So in silence, attention is grabbed, and in silence, awareness is gained. In the power of silence, in the silence that you just endured and experienced a while ago. Some of you, I want to tell you, on my side, I was looking at Jerry, and I waited at the last minute. I was going to do it myself, and I forgot to figure out where my stopwatch app is, because I use it every day when I run my miles. So I didn't know where my app really was, and I was saying, well, I need to get Jerry, maybe he probably does run a lot, and he might know where his app is, and help him find it. And I was going to tell him, hit it on 30 seconds, and I was waiting. I said, man, it's been a long time. And he says, 42. So that 42 seconds is the longest 42 seconds of my life, waiting to do the next thing. Looking at you, staring at you, watching you, it gained all our attention. It got everybody's attention, and it created an awareness. Some of you probably been sitting here for quite a while, hadn't really been paying attention. I'll testify before God in heaven, I know some of you were not paying attention till I quit and we didn't have anything but silence. I know. Because some of you just, the things that I said or the announcements that were read or the things that Jeremy said about sermon audio, one ear out of the other for some of you. But when it got silent, you were aware of the silence. It did something. It arrested your mind. It arrested you. It got a hold of you. You know, in that silence, awareness can be gained. I've been in some places just like I was just now. I couldn't wait for the silence to end. I could hear the blood flowing through my ears. My heart was pumping. I heard it. Felt it. There's something about that type of silence that is a deep, penetrating silence, which was the type of silence I believe that they had in heaven. Even though it's not heard, the entire area of heaven was aware. Even though nothing was said, maybe a little chuckle or a laugh, I don't think there was much noise in here at all. You all were aware by a certain tick of the clock that I did that on purpose. You were aware of what was going on. You said, I think the preacher doing this on purpose. You don't think he fell asleep? Nope, I think he's doing it on purpose. You think he's still preaching? I think this is on purpose. I think he's meant to do this. There's an awareness of it. The Bible says in Revelation 4:6, before the throne in heaven there was a sea of glass. Can you imagine a sea that appears like glass under crystal? In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Their whole body was full. I've seen drawings. I don't know if they can even compare what they really looked like. One beast was like a lion, like another one was like a calf. A third beast had a face as a man, as it says, verse 7. And in verse 8 it said, the four beasts, each of them had six wings. And they were full of eyes within, and the rest, they rest not. They don't rest. They rest not night and day, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And it was all silenced. In this silence, the awe of the moment is guided. When I use the word awe, I'm talking about the awesomeness of it. But we have so used and misused the word awesome that we don't understand what the word awe, A-W-E, means. It's a awful, awestruck, awesome moment here in heaven. Yes. Silence before the storm. This last seal will open up the seven trumpets. It's the seal that reveals the seven trumpets that will turn, go to the seven vials that will be poured out upon the earth in judgment above all judgments of the time of the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, as the Bible calls it, the apocalypse of the book of Revelation. In this silence, this last seal is open. And everything begins to actually crank up. If you thought it was bad, it's going to get worse. And this silence preceded things that this book has really not even gotten barely dipped his toe in the water of. So I want you to really grab a hold of that. I did that on purpose, and I would do it again probably with my own stopwatch, make sure I was up here, because I think about 15 seconds in, I was like already ready to quit. That's how awkward it was. Can you imagine 30 minutes and John the Revelator in this revelation? He's standing there and all the angels, all the creation and all the host of heaven. Silent. Now also the seventh seal, we see the seven angels. If you'll turn with me there, look down in verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. Now these are not brass trumpets like your high school band. These are referring to the idea of the history and the culture of the shofar horn, the ram's horn, that would have its... That's pretty good, but you know, that was just cheap sound effects that I have. If I had a real one, it'd probably sound like... It wouldn't sound good at all. I could not grab your attention with that. Each angel will be given a trumpet, probably like the shofar horn that was used in the time of Israel. And the Bible tells us here that these seven angels are kind of unique angels. If you've never noticed this before, the seven angels which stood before God, they stand in the presence of Almighty God. That was their purpose. Ministering not to people only, but to minister to God especially. If God said to minister someone, then they would no doubt minister. And this wording of being before God, being in the presence of God, of all the seraphims and cherubims and all these ranks of angels that may exist, the Bible gives us an idea we might even know one of these angels. Luke 1:19, the Bible said, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." He come in the announcements of the birth of John the Baptist and the announcements of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what we a lot of times call the Christmas story in the book of Luke 1 and 2 there. This angel was denoted as being one of those that stood in the presence of God. The Bible teaches us that Lucifer was a cherub that covereth. I don't know if you've ever heard that or studied that. And what I believe it means is in the mercy, all the things in the temple were just a picture or a pattern of the real things in heaven above. There's a real holy place. There's a real mercy seat. There's real blood in heaven that was shed and presented to God for your sin and my sin. And when Moses made the tabernacle and then the temples were created in the fashion of that, it was a likeness of what God had already planned in heaven. And if you've ever seen the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, they got those two cherubims with their wings spread out on the lid. That's the mercy seat. It goes on the Ark of the Covenant. If that's close to what it looks like, most people, that's their brain, that's what they think of. And there's two of those cherubs that are covering the mercy seat, touching wing to wing. Now, Lucifer fell from heaven. Part of that's revealed in the book of Revelation. I believe this, that he was one of those cherubs that covered the mercy seat, awaiting of the blood atonement when the Lord Jesus Christ would die. I believe it's possible. Not dogmatically beating my pulpit on this one. But I believe this other angel, the Bible says, another angel came and stood at the altar. If there were two angels and Lucifer was one, this could have been the other one. I don't know that. But that stuff happened. That stuff is real. And somebody fits these positions somewhere. Now think about these seven angels are different from this angel who came and he stood around the altar. There's an altar in heaven. This type of furniture is in heaven of things that Moses built on the earth because he got his blueprints from God. Amen. Now, these messenger angels and all that they send messages of and many great announcements. There's no greater announcements than the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they weren't finished in ministering to God. And in this revelation, they're here in this revelation in chapter 8. And they're given these trumpets, which we'll get to the sounding of the trumpets in a couple of weeks. We've got homecoming next week. We won't be able to get to that today. But there are seven trumpets. And as these trumpets, you might not, it's not part of our culture. We didn't announce church today, but years and years ago, how many of you grew up when they rang church bells? Some of you did. They'd ring the church bell in the community and that let people know there was church going on. Well, in the culture here of the Jews, many times, if there was some kind of a meeting or council or gathering, they would blow the trumpet. The people were used to these types of signals from the trumpet. And there were times of jubilee and celebration. They would blow the trumpet. There were times of crowning a king. They would blow the trumpet. If there was a coming of a war, they would blow a trumpet. And God uses seven trumpets that associate, in my opinion, to the greater king of all, the one that's coming back after you and I, that's coming to set justice and judgment on this world like it has never been executed before. You'd all have to agree there's a lot of ungodly, wicked stuff goes on in this world that seems that people are getting away with.
That's right. Yep.
It seems that way. Final judgment of God, Almighty God, is proclaimed through these trumpets across the whole earth. Now, I want to skip, or not really skip, but go from this thought of these seven angels to saints' prayers. Look at this in verse 3. Get back to that other angel. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. See, the censer would hold the coals of the fire. Now, those coals of the fire was where the sacrifice was burned, where an animal was killed, blood was shed, and that body of that animal burned in the ashes. They'd take those coals in that censer, and the priesthood would use these things. But here in heaven, you got this golden one that this priestly style angel, or whatever he is using, and he's got these coals. As the Bible says, a golden censer, and there was given him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. I think this is a special angel here that stands at this altar, but I can't tell you for a fact who it is or how it all works together, but the original altar and the original mercy seat and the original things going on in heaven and the blood atonement, it all got started up there, and God sent His Son down here to take care and execute the work, and Jesus said, "It is finished."
Amen. Yes, sir.
And on the third day, God raised Him from the dead, and in that process, the Bible said He ascended into the uttermost, down to the lower parts of the earth, and He led captivity captive. Yes. He took them into His possession and out of the hands of devil. The Old Testament saints.
That's right.
They prayed too. Did they not?
Yes, sir.
This temple was a pattern of all these things. And that Lamb of God, do you know who He is? He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
Jesus gave Himself a sacrifice upon the altar of God for the sins of all mankind. And this incense that was used in the mercy seat twice a day, they would go back into the areas here and they would sprinkle blood. They would burn the incense with all the death and all the blood. They'd have that incense to kind of, it was like a thought of mercy and grace. And you cannot separate mercy and grace from Jesus Christ. So all this is mingled and merged together with the prayers of the saints. The incense of the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. All the Bible says here, all saints. You read it? Prayers of all saints. I believe Old Testament. I believe New Testament. I believe tribulation saints that are here. And I'll give you some proof of this work in just a minute. A little further. Prayers like David made. Now you might think, Everything in the Bible and Christianity and what maybe some of you are visiting today, what limited experience you have with me already, that we're just a bunch of lovey-dovey and we're just a bunch of heart-playing, cloud-floating Christians. Amen? But the Bible teaches us here that David prayed what we might call imprecatory prayers, or prayers of go get them, God prayers. God zap them. God kill them. The wrath of God. And David prayed that way. Those kind of prayers were not encouraged. In fact, Jesus prayed a prayer, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And He taught us to pray for our enemies in the time of the age of grace. So these prayers, even though they were prayed, many of them weren't answered. Many of them might have been answered, but the spirit of those prayers kind of was put on hold. Listen to this is one of those pretty little prayers that David prayed in Psalm 35:4. Let them be confounded. That means knock their brains out. Shake their brains up. Put them to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind. That's a little fuzz off the wheat. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Yeah. David. Boy. That's some stout praying. Psalm 59:13. Consume them in wrath. Y'all not paying attention. I'm going to get silent again. Consume them in wrath that they may not be. May not be what? May not be at all. That's death. God kill them. That's what David's praying. He said, there's people pray like that in the Bible? Yeah. And let them know, after you let them not be, let them know that God ruleth in Jacob. So how can you let them know? Let their children know then. Amen. Let the generations know. Psalm 83:14. You thought David was through. As the fire burneth a wood, as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest. And make them afraid with thy storm. See, he had been persecuted. He had been afraid. And he's tired of all that coming at him. And he said, God, you go do that to them. You go make them afraid. You send storms into their life. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Prayers like that. And here's prayer in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 8. He had taken the book and the four beasts. The 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And when he had opened the fifth seal, chapter 6:9, I saw under them the souls under the altar. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, tribulation saints, slain in the tribulation time. And for the testimony that they held. And in Revelation 6:10, here's what chapter it says, Revelation. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Amen. That's what this chapter is going to unveil. All the prayers of the saints. Prayers like yours and mine. Lord, why? How long is this mess going to be, Lord? How long am I going to have to raise my children in this kind of climate and mess that's going on in the schools and the teachers and the things that are around us? And not just public school. There's a lot of corruption in the Christian schools, sadly, as well. How long have I got to go through this, Lord? I don't understand my physical or my spiritual or this mocking and cruelty that I'm going through. I'm oppressed. Lord, how long have I got to go through this evil? This world's evil. Maybe you're getting used to it, but I'm not. I don't want to get used to the darkness. We went on that trip, and Joanna went on that trip to Pigeon Forge up there. And boy, there's some sights to behold up there that you don't have to pay money for. There's some shows up there you don't have to go get tickets for. They just show up down the street. Crazy stuff. People this crazy things going on around there. This world is filled with evil and wickedness. And the world says that the more we see what's right, they see it as wrong. So now right is wrong and wrong is right. Truth is false and false is truth. And the world is changing the truth of God of how they were created and how they were made. And the very thought that they would ever be accountable to a God in judgment at all, they spew it out of their mouth. They reject it. Prayer about yours and mine when we said, Lord, please deliver us. Lord, stop this. I prayed some prayers that God removed some people from office that I didn't elect. That sounds like a David prayer.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Preacher, don't pray for me. I'm not gonna do that to you. I'm just telling that spirit had been subdued and it has been kept down. But God never forgot about any of those prayers. He stored them all. They've been stored up waiting for the wrath of the Lamb. He said, Father, forgive them for what they do. And He gave His life to forgive them. But they said, away with Him. Let His blood be upon our children and our children's children. And in Revelation 8:5, the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar. So there's the sacrifice paid by God. He cast it to the earth. Look at verse 5. He cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. All of the prayers of the martyrs of history, of the church, who were mocked, tortured. You ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs? It's kind of a hard read for some people, but you ought to try to read it. There were Christians in different generations the last 2,000 years, and even in our own history of our own country in the 1700s, there were Christians that were attacked and killed in Virginia. We have blood, we have guilt on our own doorstep of our own country. We do. I know I'm spitting on you, but y'all in a 7, 8, 15-foot distance. Yeah. At SeaWorld, we'll put signs up maybe around here. At SeaWorld, you're supposed to see if you're going to get wet sitting in these seats. I might put some of those up. I'm just kidding. Think about someone that was tied to two different horses because they would not deny the name of Jesus Christ. If I went around to some of you right here, I said, well, if you don't deny Jesus Christ, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to kill you right now. Some of you would say, I don't know Him. It'd be easy for you because you don't know Him. But if you do know Him, you say, I can't deny the One who saved my soul and forgave me of my sins, who is my life, and everything about my whole being. You couldn't deny Him. And they would take these Christians and they would bury them in the dirt with their head. I've seen pictures of it. I had a missionary come to our home church. These Muslim countries, they buried him up to his head in the dirt, poured honey on his head and allowed the ants to eat him. Now I know that's kind of rough on some of you kids, but some of you, you're so used to all this zombie stuff. I'm going to tell you, there's some real persecution going on in this world, attacking Christians. But even in the last 50 years, there's still guilt at the footsteps, the doorstep of America and other countries around this world. And those who were mocked and tortured and killed for their faith in Jesus Christ, they didn't attack another person, they just preached the truth. You just preach the truth and people will hate it and attack it. They want to silence the voice of the truth. And all this frustration and this friction has been building up. And God's going to allow this angel to put those coals in there. Amen. From the altar of God. Mix it with the incense and the prayer of every saint that ever prayed a go get them God prayer. Come get me out of here prayer. God's going to pour that wrath on this earth. Those who were tortured and killed for their faith. The book of Hebrews even talks about some who were sawn asunder. They'd put them in hollow logs and saw them in two. The Bible said to whom the world was not worthy. This one's for you. Amen. He's going to pour out that wrath on this earth with this thunderings and this lightnings and the earthquake. And that's where these seven trumpets come into play. That's where these seven vials will be poured out upon the earth. And those are some of the things that we'll get into as we go. I thought, what a great truth, Sister Becky, I want you to come. What a great truth to know God never forgot any prayer ever prayed.
That's right.
I hope that brings hope to some of you. We're still under the age of grace. But God's wanting to save those who are in the darkness. He's wanting to reach out to those who need to be saved. There's certain things that He's still... We intercede. We are praying to Him. And He has the Holy Spirit goes to these altars in heaven and make intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 8. So we're not unfamiliar with some of this furniture. We're not unfamiliar with some of this fruit that's here. We're not unfamiliar with some of these characters we see. Prayers of the Old Testament, New Testament, tribulation, all not forgotten, the wrath of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody that looked to Him as Messiah, everybody that looked back to Him on the cross as Messiah, amen. And everybody who looks to His second coming in return. I'll get ahead of myself, but there's going to come a day where God's going to get the devil himself. And going to, with not just bind him up in chains for 1,000 years, but after 1,000 years, He's going to put him into the bottomless pit for eternity. The Bible said He'll ever be there where the beast and the false prophet are. And you can finally lay down all that worry. You won't have to worry about him ever, ever again. I hate the devil. Amen, I do. And I look forward to that day where God's going to make all things new, make all things right, and God's going to send judgment on this world. If He doesn't send judgment on this earth, according to these scriptures, He is an unjust God.
Come on now.
Because God poured all His wrath on His Son.
Yes, He did.
It had to be paid for. And it was. But the wrath of God is coming upon this earth. All those and how they treated Israel and those how they treated the church, all those interactions of them, there's going to be things as the scriptures open up these trumpets, you'll hear the word woe. Woe unto you. Now we make fun of it now. But this world won't be laughing when God opens up the seventh seal. Sister Becky, I want you to play for us, please. The age of grace, I believe, is in its final moments. The Bible teaches there's a time of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are pretty much running this world. That's going to come to an end. God's going to start opening up the tribulation period, the great tribulation period, the time, times and half of times, the 3.5 years that's mentioned, the 1260 days. It's mentioned in many different ways throughout the Scripture, even in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel. That age is almost over. And this world is so unbelievably unprepared. This world's buying into so much of virtual reality and things like that, that they can see something and either believe it or disbelieve it. There's going to come things poured out upon this earth that some may not even believe is real. The Bible says that He's going to open up the pit and there's going to be locusts. I mean, engineered locusts. That's, their whole design is not to attack the earth or eat the grass, but to attack everyone who does not have the seal of God in their forehead, but had the mark of the beast. So as we see these things unlock, I want to remind you in verse 1, when He had opened the seventh seal, who opened that last seal? It's still Jesus. It's still the Lamb of God. Opening these seals, unfolding the future events of history upon this earth. If the Lord were to come back after the church today, all these things in their process. Now I know that there's some of you that gotten saved when you're younger, now you're getting older. I want to make your call and election sure. Make sure you know that you're saved, that you trusted and you believe in the Lord. Because it's time to gird up the loins of our minds and realize the time that we're living in. There are things going on in this world around us that make this book come more alive every single day. There are dialogues and treaties of all types across other countries that are falling into place where this whole world will turn against Jerusalem. They're going to turn against Israel. God's going to open up these trumpets and sound them and send great destruction upon this earth such as never ever been known or seen. So you want to get saved today. You want to trust in Jesus now. I highly recommend Him. That you realize the wrath of God was shielded from you by you placing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He took your hell, your suffering, your pain. He took all the judgment of God off of you. And He died on the cross. That's the man I trusted in that saved my soul. I don't have to go to hell. Amen. I don't have to face the judgment of God. He took my place. One day I'll give an account of how I've lived for Him and served Him. But I'll never get an account for the sins not being paid. Because He paid it all. Are your sins forgiven? Are your sins under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Do you really know? Are you falling into understanding how apocalyptic, how revealing, how amazing the moments of this book are? Pray that even the silence of verse 1 would get your attention. And you would listen to the words of this prophecy and be blessed, as the Bible says, of that which was and is and is to come. Father, I pray that You speak to the hearts of those here today. Lord, one day God may show a picture of this very room and everyone sitting in it and everyone where they're seated and show them their own face at the judgment of God where they sat here today and heard the Word of God preached and they were warned, but they ignored it. They rejected it. Oh God, we're all going to give an account for whether we rejected Jesus Christ or we received Him. Lord, I pray that You would deal with the hearts of those who are not saved and not ready, that they would receive You as their Savior. God, that there not be one that would sit under the sound of the voice of the preaching from East Georgia Road, to hear the songs that point people to Christ, to come encounter with us, Lord, that would walk away without hearing the truth. Lord, that they might not reject the truth and believe a lie. Please save them, Lord. Speak to their heart. Convict them. Open up our heart and our minds. Lord, help us to see. Help us to be in awe of these events coming in the book of Revelations. These things coming upon the earth. Lord, let us be ready. Help us try to make others be prepared to be ready. In Jesus' name we pray.